amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I'm fired up, just so you know. Praise God. We're going to build upon what we talked about last week, and we'll review to catch people up. Your life will look different, really, if you do what the word last 2 weeks, praise God. Father, help us this morning. Lord, we're here because of you, not because of the minister, not because of the name on the sign. We're here because of you. Father, thank you for giving us a home, a spiritual home. Thank you for feeding us so well around here with your precious, precious word. Father, it's the word that changes our lives. It's the word that transforms. It's the word that can turn things around. So, Father, we thank you for the word. And as we go to preach the word this morning, Father, I pray that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, speak through me. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do in this service. Father, may there be utterance from heaven, boldness on that utterance. And Father, like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I thank you that I will open my mouth and I will speak words from heaven. And I will say things that will hit the bullseyes in every single person's heart here this morning. Exactly where they're at, what they need to hear, the situations they're going through, the circumstances that they're in, the questions that they have. Father, only you can do that. Father, I'm not that good. I'm not that talented. I'm not that smart. I'm not that educated. I'm not that qualified, but the Holy Ghost and the anointing is. So we thank you for the anointing this morning. Thank you for impartations and revelations. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, and again, I'll catch you up here from last week. Wednesday was kind of like an offshoot to Sunday's message, and in today's part 2. It says, for by grace are you saved? Praise God for the grace. The grace is the mercy, the power, the healing. By grace are you saved. Now, when he says saved, the position that you were in when you got saved was you were in the grip of the enemy. The Bible says you've been delivered from the power of darkness. That means you were under the power of darkness. So that grace has the ability to take you from Satan's kingdom and put you into his. From really translate you from death to life. It's a powerful thing, the grace. And it's that grace that you find his healing in. You need his grace for your body. Doctors might not have an answer. Medication might not have an answer. But his grace does. It's your financial situation that you have no way to get out of. I mean, there's no hope. The calculator, you've done it a million times. There's no bank. There's nothing on the horizon. It's his grace that supply will flow through and flow in. That's in his grace is the supply. That deliverance that you need. That turnaround that you need. That revelation that you need. That instruction, that protection, that favor that you need is found in the grace, praise God. His grace, think about it. It was able to do, for example, I got born again January 10th, 2002. The second before I received Jesus, and all the seconds before I received Jesus, was the worst condition that Mike Anderson's ever been in. It was the worst condition you've ever been in. Why? You had a one-way ticket punched to hell. You did. You were in the throes or the grip of the one who steals, kills, and destroys. So what am I saying to you? That the situation that you're in now, that you think is hell on earth, that you think is impossible, that you think is the worst place you've ever been in, it's not. It was before you got born again, and the grace was big enough then. The grace is big enough now. But it's important to get that grace, whatever avenue or facet of that grace you need, it's important to know how to work that grace. And he said, by grace are you saved through faith. In your worst condition ever. Now remember, God loved the world so much, the Bible says. He looked on humanity. He's a God of love and mercy. Isn't it interesting that he looked at you as his creation in the grips of Satan, ticket punched to hell. He provided Jesus, but you didn't get saved just because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus already died on the cross, and there's many people outside of these walls that are unsaved. They have a one-way ticket punched to hell. They do. It's not fun to talk about, but it's the truth. And in that situation, his beloved creation loves people so much. He's not willing that any should perish. He didn't drop salvation on your head. You didn't wake up saved one day. No, it came through something. The grace that saved you came through something. Faith. Well, what happened? You heard about Jesus. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. You heard, faith rose up. You released your faith and said, I believe in you, Jesus. Come into my heart. That was you releasing your faith. And what happened? You got saved. But that grace was able to do it. But the important thing to see is he didn't do that in your worst condition. If you think he's just all of a sudden going to move on your situation now, and he didn't in your worst condition, he's just going to move now on the coattails of doubt and unbelief and worry and fear and anxiety and stress, and you think he's just going to do it just because, you're fooling yourself. He didn't do it in your worst condition. He expected you to believe. And then when you believed, you laid a pipeline to him. You laid an avenue of faith to flow through. Praise God. Well, I should say his grace to flow through the faith, the pipeline of faith. And we showed you last week a woman, and I'm not going to go there for time's sake. I'll just mention her, but you need to go back and listen if you weren't here last Sunday. The woman who had the daughter in Matthew 15 who was grievously vexed of a devil. She's tormented by Satan. Now, we know that Jesus isn't okay with this because Jesus said that I came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he said. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, but I've come to give you life more abundantly. What's he saying? I don't have anything to do with what he's doing. So when this woman comes to Jesus and says, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil, we know Jesus isn't okay with that. He's there to undo the works of the devil. And that's a work of the devil, tormenting this young girl. We know Jesus loved children. We know Jesus is a lover of people. We know God is love. Jesus does what God does. There's no way he's okay with that. But if you read that story, we find that four times, Jesus basically ignored her or gave her an answer that wasn't the grace flowing. Right? But why was that? Because at the end, he gave her the grace. It flowed. Well, what did she come to him with? She didn't come to him in faith. What'd she come to him with? Fear, anxiety, discouragement, hopelessness, worry, right? Oh, Lord, help me. My daughter's grievously vexed of the devil. Didn't get him to move. In fact, he didn't even talk to her. Oh, Lord, help me in the situation I'm in. Oh, Lord, what are you going to do? I need you so bad. That ain't faith. That's not a faith response. And he isn't going to move on your situation. Praise God. But when she changed, he was always ready. When she changed and she approached him from an area of faith, and you go back and look, and we talked about it more last week. Then the Bible said Jesus answered her and said, daughter, great is your faith. Be it as to you as you will. From that same hour, her daughter was made whole. See, we need that grace. Our current situations, our future trials and tests needs the grace. Why? The grace can do what the natural can't. There's times there's no hope in the natural. We need the grace, but the grace is only going to flow through faith. That's why we said it is to the utmost importance and vital and crucial that you from this point forward determine to never be out of faith in every area of your life. Why? As soon as you get out of faith, the grace stops the flow. It's plugged up. He doesn't flow in doubt and unbelief. He doesn't flow in worry. He doesn't flow in anxiety. He doesn't flow in stress. He doesn't flow in a lack of peace. He flows in faith. And we're trying to help you. We showed you last week. We said, okay, that's great. How then do we do it? Well, Kim, will I pull up Romans 10:17? How do we get into faith that gets God to flow? It's so simple. Now, this faith that is the pipeline, that lays the pipeline for him to flow his grace through, cannot be prayed for. You don't acquire it through prayer. It doesn't come through begging. It doesn't come through having pastor lay hands on you for an impartation. There's one way this faith comes, and it's the only way that faith comes. Now, you can strengthen your faith other ways, but the way that it comes and shows up and has arrived and is birthed in you is right here. Faith cometh. You won't find anywhere else in the Bible that's going to come any other way. Faith cometh by the hearing and the hearing and the hearing of God's word. Well, when faith comes, what happens? It's the equivalent of laying a pipeline. Remember, we used Jesus as the example of the fire hydrant. The fire hydrant has the ability to put the fires out to be a blessing. But until somebody hooks up a hose to it, doesn't matter what's available. God's got everything you need. Until somebody hooks a faith hose up to him, they don't get it. Listen, there's a lot of people that don't get anything from him. There's a lot of his children right now struggling in sickness, disease, depression, anxiety, fear, poverty, hopelessness. They have no idea, no hope of help, and nothing's going to change for them. Does he want it to change? Yes, but they need to react right. Because he's bound by his word. It's not because he's mean or withholding things. No, he's true to his word. And you want faith, you need to hear it. That's why in Joshua 1:8, when it says, meditate in the word, day and night, day and night. What's that? Continually be in the word. Day and night, day and night, day and night. It says, then your ways will be made prosperous and have good success. Well, how does meditating in the word, hearing the word day and night, how does that translate into good success? Well, in prosperity. Well, when you're hearing the word day and night over and over again, you're doing this verse. And faith's coming. And great faith is coming for whatever you're listening to over and over. And then when you have great faith, that lays a pipeline. And then the grace flows. And the grace will lead to prosperity and good success. It's the only way it's done. So we need to make sure we're in faith. Well, now going into today's message. We need to make sure, because we can fake be in faith and it won't do anything for you. We need to make sure that we are biblically sound in faith. There's a way to know. There's a way to know, praise God. Go to me, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. I'm so passionate about this because I'm so passionate about people getting their help. Amen. And people's lives changing. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Kim Lai, would you pull that up in the Amplified, please? Examine and test and evaluate your own self to see whether you are holding to your faith. We saw on Wednesday night, we have faith. Might not be in the right location, but we have it. Are you holding to your own faith and showing the proper fruits of it? Well, the Bible says that faith has fruits. I walk up to a tree and I know it's an apple tree, not because of the way the bark looks. I'm not that smart. I don't know that much. Not because of the way the leaves look. You know how I know it's an apple tree? Because of the apples. Same with a cherry tree. Same with an orange tree. I'm just not that smart to know. But when I see the fruit, I say, hey, I know what kind of tree that is. Well, you can see it. Same thing when you go get an examination. Done at the doctor, they'll check your ears, they'll check your nose, check your mouth, check your throat, right? Weigh you, poke and prod at you, do different things, take your blood pressure, different things. Why? They're looking for things that they can see, whether it be through their natural eye or through an instrument or through a machine, things that are off. Because it's the things that are off that are hurting your body. Well, if he says to examine ourselves to see if we are indeed in faith holding to it and there's fruits, there must be things we can see outwardly that determine whether or not we're in this faith, because we can't afford to not be. We can't afford to think we're in faith. We have to know that we know, and thank God the Lord tells us. Just like we don't have to, oh, I wonder if my blood pressure's doing good. Who could ever know? You can know. Well, I wonder if I'm the right weight. I mean, how in the world could you ever know? You can know. Amen. Do my ears look good? I mean, I can't see in them. Am I ever going to find out? There's a way. Amen. Just with faith, too. There's a way to find out. Praise God. You want to find out how to be, if you're in faith or not? Well, that was weak. I said, If you want to go about thinking on your own way, go ahead. I mean, we can close down right now, and I'll go hop in the woods on this nice day and look for a deer. Praise God. But if you want to know, do you want to know?
Yeah.
Amen. I know you do. You got to be hungry. Praise God. Yeah. You're not stroking my ego when you shout yes. I'm trying to get you hungry for His Word. Whether you're hungry or not, I'm going to preach fire no matter what. Whether this place is full or one person, I'm going to do the same thing. I am. I've proved it before with two people in a service before, and I preached my little, until my veins were popping and my face was red. Spit flying everywhere. The trifecta, really. When you get a trifecta to service, you know it was good. Veins popping, spit flying, face turning red. It's a good service. I think we're almost pretty much there today.
Glory to God.
So let's find out if we're in faith, because I'm telling you what, those things that we're sitting around just, well, it'll just happen for me. It's got to just happen. It's so bad. No, you have to understand, you are the catalyst. I'm going to make a statement. You've heard me say it before, but it's true. How your life turns out from this point forward, it's not up to the devil. It's not up to your employer. It's not up to a family member. And it's not even up to God. How your life turns out has more to do with you than God, the devil, your employer. Keep going down the line. You are the catalyst. Mark 9:23, if you can believe, if you can be in faith, then all things are possible. If you can't be in faith, then all things are not possible for you. So I want to find out if I'm in faith. Well, thank God, it's easy to see. Go to Romans 10 and verse 10. Romans 10 and verse 10. Praise God. You don't want to miss our Christmas service. We got a special treat for you that day. You're going to love it. Praise God. It's going to be good. Glory to God. Romans 10, 10. Okay, so I'm going to show you three ways that the Bible shows us to examine ourselves that we can say, okay, do we have 1, 2, and 3 operating in our life? If we do, then you can say, yep, I'm in faith. And when I'm in faith, I'm confident the flow is working. The grace is going my direction. Praise God. Romans 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now this is talking about the promise of salvation. It says belief starts in the heart. Belief is not of the head, of the mind, or of the flesh. When you hear or do Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, where that faith is birthed is not in your brain. Not in your flesh. It's birthed in your heart. It says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. But then it says this, that it can't just stop in the heart. It says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe it here first, but then to receive it, you speak it out of your mouth. Do you see that there? Well, the first thing you would say to yourself, and we'll show you in more detail, what am I saying? Now I'm going to do air quotes here when I say the things you're believing for. Because you might think you're believing for it, but maybe today we find out I'm not in faith at all. I'm not in faith at all. Well, this will help us to tell us if we are or not. You know, it's like you can go around thinking you're super healthy, go to the doctor and find out, well, there's some adjustments that need to be made. There's some numbers that are a little off. There's some things that need to be tweaked and adjusted. I thought I was doing great, but I need to change some things. Well, that's what we're doing here today. So he says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, what are you saying concerning that which you are believing for? Now, I'm going to show you something in the Bible here in a second that if you're in faith, you're saying something. Now, 1, 2, 3, we're going to look at three things. All three of these things, when you are in true faith, happen automatically. When you're in faith, you don't have to wake up and say, okay, now Pastor Mike said if I'm in faith, I got to do 1. And then I remember what he said about 2. And I got to do 3. Okay, I got to make sure I do 1. No, 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 no. You'll see in the Word, it's automatic. When you're in faith, 1, 2, 3 are automatically present in your life. I don't wake up every day and think about, okay, what are the steps? What's the order? Why? Because I'm in faith. It just flows out of me. And I'll show you that's in the Word. But go to Mark 11, 23. What are you saying? Because with the heart you believe, But with the mouth, you make the confession towards the promise. Or Brother Hagin put it this way, the confession is what brings the possession. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he hopes for. He shall have whatever he wishes for. He shall have whatever he thinks about. He shall have whatever he's so desperate and needing, and it's been years and years. No. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Why? You believe it first, then you speak it, and the confession brings the promise. He said, you'll have what you say. But this is what's important to know if we're in faith or not. Because a lot of people can fake their way through this point. And just say, and just say, and just say, and just say. He didn't say that you'll have just whatever you say. You say, yes, he did. He said, I'll have whatever he says. No. He said you'll have whatever you say that you believe in your heart. Faith words are what brings what you say. Not just spouting off at the mouth because Pastor Mike said I need to say it. You can go through the motions and fake it, but it's not going to help you. Stop trying to impress me and stop trying to impress people. Just get into faith. That impresses God and then he works. It does you no good to fake this and do the song and dance. Well, I just got to say it. I'm in faith, and I'll show you a principle in the Word here. I say things automatically. Why? I'm in faith. Faith automatically says things. If faith is in your heart, well, I'll just say it this way. Whatever's in your heart will show up in here. Go to Matthew 12 and verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. I'm going to show you this now. Now remember, if you find out I'm not in faith, what do? You go back to get into faith. How do you get into faith? Here and here and here and here and here and here and here and. You hear, meditate day and night, day and night, day and night. Until when? Until these three things become normal. When these three things show up, it shows you as the believer, yep, I'm believing. I'm believing. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Look at what it says here. O generation of vipers, Jesus talking to the religious people. He says, how can you be evil, speak good things? See, I know it's in your heart, it's evil. How can good things come out of your mouth? There's evil in your heart. Why is that a thing? Because there's a principle here. Out of the abundance of the heart. Now remember, if you remember earlier in the service, what did Pastor Mike say faith originates? Does it originate in your head? No. Does it originate in your flesh? No. Where does it originate? Your heart. Well, Jesus said, out of the abundance of what's in your heart tank, what's it say? The mouth will speak. What he's saying is an automatic spiritual law is whatever's big in here is going to pour out of here. Just automatically. Now think about this. When I go to the gas station, there's a tank in my truck. And I plug into that tank. And, you know, if you let it go on the automatic, it'll shut off at a certain time. But you can manually sit there and keep that squeezed down. And fill that tank to the brim and keep the hose or the pump squeezed down and it'll keep flowing out gas, won't it? Well, because the tank gets full, what comes out? Gas. It's an automatic thing. When something gets full and it keeps filling up, it's got to have a release. Same thing. When your heart gets full of something, the release is your mouth. If doubt and unbelief are coming out of you, it's not because you got faith in your heart. It's because you're full of fear and worry. Praise God, it's true. So we can look at ourselves and examine ourselves, not beat up ourselves, not condemn ourselves. This is our help today. Your whole world can change from this service forward. You got lots of years left. Lots of years left to watch things turn and change. You're looking at a former alcoholic, broke, sick, defeated, on drugs, depressed, gambling addiction, 357, loaded, hammer cocked in my mouth. You're looking at a man full of joy and prosperity and healing and peace. Why? Because I cooperated and everything turned for me. And it'll work for you because it's the Word. The Word has no favorites. The Word doesn't pick and choose. You want your life changed? You want something to turn around? It's available to you through the force that is faith, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you can assess yourself and examine yourself and say, you know what? Either, and it's not okay just to not talk. Jesus didn't say you'll have whatsoever things if you don't say the wrong thing and just stay quiet. No, you'll have what you say, the right things that you believe. Didn't he? And so, examine yourself here this morning. I'm believing for something. Well, if you are, if faith is big in your heart for what you're believing for, it's going to come out of your mouth. What are you saying financially? What are you saying over your body? What's coming out of your mouth concerning your kids? What's coming out of your mouth concerning your business? What's coming out of your mouth concerning the people that are against you, the situations that you have? If it's doubt and unbelief, and what am I going to do, and how's this going to work? You're not in faith. Do you have to force yourself to try to think of something to say? You're not in faith. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will just speak. I don't have to force the gas to come out. If I just keep filling up, it'll just come out. Because it has nowhere else to go. Fill up on faith in here, and it comes out of here. Amen. That's number one. What are you saying? Number two, let's go to Romans 4, verse 18. Talking about Abraham. Romans 4 and verse 18. Remember, Abraham, of course, is told he's having a baby. We know the story. We've talked about it so many times around here. He's almost 100. His wife's 90. Her body's not working. His body's not working to make a baby. And God said, you're having a baby. Well, this is the picture of Abraham in faith. We know he was in faith. The Bible tells us that. But it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, not according to his body, not according to medical science, not according to history, not according to his wife's body, not according to the opinions of man, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, so there it tells us he was in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now verse 20 is number two. He staggered. Well, forgive me, I just got to get this out. I just said that's number two. If you're going to tell me jokes, I'm not big on toilet humor, but they are a solid number two. I wouldn't have been able to go on. Unless I got that out, so. When I heard number two, I thought, I've got a good joke for them. Praise God. Dr. Jessica liked it. Point number two. Okay, are you ready now? Romans 4 verse 20 is going to tell you. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. What does that mean? Strong in the pipeline that flows the grace. That's where you want to be this morning. Strong in faith. How do I know if I'm strong in faith? Verse 20. He was strong in faith. How do we know Abraham was strong in faith? Because he was given glory Amen. To God. Amen. What does that mean? Abraham was in praise. Praise, ladies and gentlemen, is the voice of faith. Amen. If you're not praising God for what you're believing to turn around, if worship's not coming, and this is what it would look like in a financial situation. Father, you wake up, the bills haven't changed, the accounts haven't changed, paycheck hasn't changed, and you can't pay for your bills. It would look like this. Father, I praise you, and I thank you. You are my Jehovah Jireh, Amen. My provider. I thank you for the increase that's coming because I'm your child. You are bigger than this situation. I thank you for the money. Amen. What it would look like with healing. Father, I'm feeling the symptoms and the doctors are saying this, but you are my Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. And Father, I thank you. I will not have this the rest of my life. That medication will be gone eventually. This problem will be gone eventually. I thank you. I'm healed. Amen. What was Abraham doing? Father, I know it looks bad. I know it feels bad. I know my wife don't look like baby making material. I know I don't look like baby making material. I know what science say. I know what the doctors say. I know what people say. But you said I'm having a baby. So Father, I thank you for my son. I thank you for my child. Father, you're faithful. You're bigger than this. You're bigger than the natural body. You're stronger than the natural realm. Thank you, Lord, for my child. Thank you, Lord, for my child. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for my money. Thank you, Lord, for my turnaround. Thank you, Lord, for my deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for my kids. Thank you, Lord, for this and for that. That's what faith does. Amen. And you don't have to force it. I said this last night. It's true. I'm not just trying to brag or puff myself up. I tell you a lot of things that I do wrong and where I miss it and stuff like that. But I'm also to be an example to you. When I wake up in the morning, my eyes open up. I don't sit there and say, okay, now I'm believing for this, this, and this, and I got to make sure I'm saying and praising. No, when Pastor Mike's eyes open up, his arms go up in the air. Father, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you. You're working in my situation, and things are turning. I'm not awake enough or alert enough to think that. It automatically comes out of me. There was the spit. Check off the checklist. We got the spit. I don't think about that stuff. It just come, the praise just flows out of me. Why? I'm in faith. Faith people praise. It's the voice of faith. Go to Numbers 14. Praise God. Numbers 14. Now remember, God said you can have this. You know, God has told you. You might not know it yet or have found the answer yet. But God has every answer to every problem you're facing. Right. To what? Turn it around and make it better for you. Amen. So he's not stressed in heaven with what you're going through because he knows, I have the answer. I can turn that around. I can deliver them out of that. But what you do with what he says determines it. When Pastor Mike's saying, thank you, Father, for the healing, the natural's telling you, you ain't healed. But his word says you are. Amen. When you don't look delivered and you look like you're being pressed upon every side and people are rising up against you, the word says you're delivered. Amen. What are you going to do with that? When the finances, the word says you're blessed and rich. What are you going to do with that, praise God? Well, God told the children of Israel, what? In Numbers 13, I've got a land for you. I just took you out of Egypt, parted a body of water for you. Now I'm moving you into the promised land. Well, shocking. As they increased to get into better, there was opposition. Welcome to Christianity. Welcome to increasing and going forward with God. Say, man, things sure have gotten hot and things, the tests are coming when I get faithful. Yeah, no duh. Because you're on the verge of the greatest breakthrough that you never would have received on your own without God. And the devil's right there saying, well, I'm going to put you to the test. Let's see if you got what you're made of. Because if you don't approach God with faith, I know you can't get past me because faith is the only thing that shields the devil. It's the only thing. And so he tells them that this is their land. What happens? They get there. There's people bigger than them, giants in the land. People already occupying what's supposed to be theirs. Well, we find out real quick, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right. Well, were they in praise and worship? What it should have sounded like is this. Father, you just parted a body of water and made it the ground so hard that we can take 2 million people through it. You had the water. One of the places the birds called it congeal, which is to freeze. And you had us go through it, and you didn't bring us through that to not get into where we're going. You did a great thing for us. Just like, oh, wow, yeah, that's good. He didn't give you Jesus so you'd go bankrupt. Don't start thinking, where's God? He gave you Jesus. That's him telling you, I'll do whatever you need. I'm here. You say, got scripture on that? I do. Romans 8:32. How then shall he who spared not his only son but delivered him up freely for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? Because of what I did for Jesus, that's God saying, whatever you need, I got it. Yeah. And the Red Sea was parted, and they should have thought, my God, he did this. Who cares about these giants in the land? If he did that, what's he going to do to them? No. We thank you, Father. We praise you for our deliverance. We thank you we're getting that land. That's what a faith person, but that wasn't in their heart. Numbers 14:1, and all the congregation lifted their voice and cried, and people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured and complained against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would have been better to die in Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Yep, he went through such great lengths to deliver you from the Egyptians, so now you can be killed by these people. That makes sense. Yep, he gave you Jesus and took you out of your worst place so you couldn't pay your bills. Yeah, the devil's a liar, the thoughts that people get. Yep, he delivered you from the power of darkness so you can waddle around in sickness and disease and 25 different medications every day. No. If he did that for you, I would have thought to myself, and Caleb and Joshua did, if he did that for us, no, he's not bringing us here to kill us. He's trying to get us into something. And our children should be praying, were it better for us to return to Egypt? Now, that's the dumbest thought. It's better to be a slave than a free man. My goodness, can the devil deceive people? And they said to one another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. Wow. Well, we know that's doubt and unbelief, and guess what? They didn't get in. They did not get into their promise. God didn't say, well, I'm tired of seeing you suffer, Israelites. Just go in. No. Nope. Okay, have fun for 40 years. Praise God. They were complaining and murmuring. Now, on the other hand, go to Acts 16. You know what else I found too? That you should try this. See if it works for you. When you get home, take a clean sponge. Pour a glass of milk. Dump the sponge in the milk. Take the sponge out and lay it on the table. And start punching it. Pushing on it. And let me know if grape Kool-Aid comes out. That hasn't happened for me. Milk came out for me. See what comes out for you. What am I saying? Whatever's on the inside, when you're pressed upon, is going to come on the outside. And those children of Israel were pressed upon, and it came out the wrong tone. Woo-hoo. At Acts 16, verse 25, this is a story of Paul and Silas. Remember, Paul has a vision, go to Macedonia. He gets to Macedonia. Finds a woman who's been possessed by the devil, and the devil's given her the ability to tell the future. Paul casts the devil out of her. She can no longer make money for her masters who are using her devil ability there. She can't tell the future anymore. Well, they find out, how'd this all of a sudden stop? Oh, these two men, Paul and Silas. Okay, well, let's beat the snot out of them. Let's strip them down, throw them into the inner prison. Here they're obeying God. They're in a great, they're doing great things for the Lord, and now they're in the greatest trial of their life. Beaten, stripped, and naked, thrown into an inner prison in Rome. A terrible place. And, they didn't have yard time to go out and lift weights and shoot hoops and watch TV and take classes. And they didn't have that there. It's a horrible place. Well, they're pressed upon. Remember the milk example. You go home and you dip your sponge in milk and you press on it. Same thing. When you're pressed upon, what's coming out of you? What's coming out of you? We find out what's inside you real quick. Oh, it's interesting. When things are going great, what comes out of people? Ooh, the Lord is so good. I love him. He's my provider. The minute you can't pay a bill, what am I going to do? Is he not still the same God? Don't be like the children of Israel. Bunch of whiners, forgetters of what God did for them. Acts 16, 25, so they're in prison, getting pressed upon, and at midnight. Now, do you think Paul sat there and said, okay, the steps of faith are 1, 2, 3, I got to do this. No, it automatically flows out of you. Just like I wake up, I praise him. Amen. Throughout my day, a thought comes about what I'm believing for, and praise comes out of me. It's just my response. I don't think, well, I should probably praise him for that. No, I'm in faith, so the praise just comes out of me. And if it doesn't, you go back to what we told you last week. Here, 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 here. Till the word becomes big, it starts coming out of your mouth and start praising automatically. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. You know, when they stood at the wall of Jericho and lifted their voice and rejoiced and praised and shouted, there was no chemical makeup in their words or their praise that deteriorated a wall and had it come down. There's no power in our praise. Your praise doesn't have power. But when you're praising, you are in a faith position. And when you're in faith, that's a pipeline to heaven. And God flows His grace through that praise or through that faith. That's why the walls came down at Jericho. We see here the prison doors opened, the chains were busted off, they were delivered. Not because their praise, their words had some special makeup in them, but they were in faith and God said, I can flow through that. Amen. They were praising God in the worst of the worst. Not because, well, I just better do this. No. Hallelujah. Number one, what's coming out of your mouth? Number two, the same thing coming out of your mouth, but is there praise coming out of your mouth? If you're not in praise, you're not in faith. Why? It's the voice of faith. We can look at you and know by what comes out of your mouth whether you're in faith or not. Number three, James 2:17. James 2:17, this is our last point. What's on the menu today? I didn't hear. Sounds pretty good. James chapter 2. Do you know how blessed you are to have people here that make food every week? Every single week. Thank you so much for doing that. All that are involved in that. Praise God. It's a blessing. Amen. And fellowship's important. And I just encourage you, if you don't stick around or ever stick around, we're a family. We ought to get to know one another and love one another. Praise God. James 2:17. Is that where I said to go? Yeah, James 2:17. Even so, faith. What's faith? The pipeline, the tunnel, the avenue that God flows His grace through, the thing we can't afford to be without. If it has not works, it's dead, being alone. Now listen to what the NIV says. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by an action, the word works there is action, is dead. Faith has actions to it. Well, what is faith? Faith is an expectation. Faith is a belief. Those of you that have given birth to babies, when you were told you're pregnant, what do they tell you? What do you say to people? I'm expecting. Well, I'm going to guess that you didn't just start making all the preparations and doing things in the natural with a nursery and buying clothes and setting things up and getting things tidied out in the natural. I'm going to guess that didn't start when the labor pains came. Oh, darn, we got to do some things. No. 9 months away, you went and started buying clothes. You started painting things. You started buying things. You started making preparations. Why? You did actions because you expected something to come on the scene that you have not yet met or seen. But it's showing you you're expecting. What about you that book a trip 6 months to a year out? The day of the trip is, oh, I need to get a bathing suit. Oh, I need to book plane tickets today. We're supposed to leave. No. You're expecting to go on this trip, so what do? You look at pictures, you think about it, you talk about it, right? You buy things, you make preparations. What are you doing? You're taking action. Faith has actions. What actions? Now, yes, speaking and praising are actions. But what would somebody be able to look at in your life and say, they do believe they're going to be pregnant. They do believe they're going to get a new home. I can tell. I'll give you some examples here. In the same way, faith by itself, if not coming by an action, is dead. Praise God. Can I tell you a good story? I have a pastor friend in Canada who had a minister into his church. Now, the minister that came into my pastor friend in Canada's church, this minister, he had a minister into his church, and he was a pastor from Kenya. And this Kenyan pastor told the friend of my pastor this story. And he has a church in Kenya, and the church just started growing, and they live in the real rural parts of Kenya. There's nothing, no vehicles, just very kind of run down, not, you know, a lot of poverty. And he's preaching and he's preaching and the church is growing. Now, in here this morning, with my big mouth, we do not need this microphone. Right? But if we had hundreds of people going back hundreds of yards, it would be hard for me to project my voice for the people in the front to hear just as well as the people in the back. Well, that's what was happening. Church was growing so big, he didn't have a sound system, and so he's preaching, and people aren't hearing him, so he needs a sound system. Well, he had gotten a hold of Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland's stuff on faith. So he started getting built up in faith, this Kenyan pastor. And he got a hold of this verse, James 2:17. It says, faith needs works or it's dead. If there's no action or works, your faith is dead. Just like your actions for a baby, you're showing, I believe there's a baby coming. I believe I'm going on a trip. Right? Amen. There's action. Just the same way, like I get ready for archery season. I'm all summer practicing with my bow. Why? I believe that I need to get, you know, there's actions you take. It's the same thing with faith. If you really believe something's going to change, you'll start making the action. Because when you're going to have a baby, oh, things change. So you start making preparations 9 months before. But see, a lot of times we don't believe a lick of what's going to happen. We hope for it. And I don't mean Bible hope. I'm talking about just hoping and a wishing that it's going to just come. No preparation at all. But he got a hold of this. And he needed a sound system. So he took a cardboard box with scissors and he cut and made a square, made speakers out of the cardboard and put little buttons and knobs, drew buttons and knobs on the cardboard for a sound system and speakers, carved out a piece of wood into a microphone, duct taped a rope to that end of that microphone, took the rope, attached it, taped it to the cardboard box, showed up to church the next Sunday and said, "We got a sound system! Look at our sound system. We'll have a better one, but we got one." What was he doing? Calling those things which be not as though they are. Amen. Now listen to this. People in his congregation snickered at him. They weren't familiar with faith. Snickered at him. And he just kept declaring. 1 year he did this. Every service. Look at our sound system. He would preach into this cardboard or this wooden microphone with his sound system. "Hey, turn me up a little bit." "No, really, go over to the fake knobs and pretend like you're turning me up." Faith has action. Look at our sound system. 1 year he did this. Most people after 3 weeks, "Well, I guess it's not working." No. Every service. "We got a sound system, a better one's coming. But we got one now, praise God. We have a sound system." Why? Faith calls those things which be not as though they are. A sick person will call themselves healed. A broke person will call themselves rich. A bound person will call themselves delivered. It's just what faith does. You say, "Really, is that biblical?" Well, didn't God call Abraham a fatherless? He called a fatherless Abram, changed his name to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. He said, "I've made you that right now, but there's no baby. Doesn't matter. I call it the way that things are going to be, not the way that things are." See, too many people are too busy talking about the way things are. No, that's not faith. Start calling it the way things are going to be. "Father, I thank you I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm medication free. I'm prosperous. I'm delivered. My kids are this. My kids are that." "Yeah, but that's not what I'm seeing." When are you going to learn? We don't go by what we see. It don't matter what we see. It don't matter what we feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God. Amen. Until you get to that place, you're not a faith person. Thank you, Lord, for our sound system. 1 year went by. And you're getting ready for service, and this black SUV shows up. Now, they're all in awe because they don't see vehicles where they're at. The vehicles don't come there. And a businessman from Nairobi gets out. This is the Kenyan pastor telling the story. And the guy gets out and says, "I'm looking for the pastor of this church." "Well, the pastor, the Kenyan pastor?" I'm him. He said, "I don't know if you need this or not, but God spoke to me and told me you need a sound system." So he opens the back of the trunk and there's a brand spanking new sound system with speakers, the monitor, whatever that goes along with it. Microphone cords, he's got his sound system. Now his congregation doesn't think he's so nuts. The minute you start thinking your pastor's nuts, you better start looking at some of the stories in his life. Yeah. I've seen God move in mighty ways. Yeah. I can help get God to move in mighty ways in your life if you'll listen to me and do what I tell you to do. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to lord over your life or be bossy to you, but I know how to get God moving in your life. Amen. So he said, you know what? It would be a blessing if we had cars. That would be amazing if we'd have cars around here. Life would get easier. Well, the people that used to snicker at him said, oh, we saw it work once. Yeah, it would be nice if we had cars. So pastor started saying, I have a car. And the congregation member started saying, we have cars. And the pastor thought, oh, we need a place to put all these cars. Grabs a bucket of yellow paint, goes out into the dirt, starts drawing stripes in the ground, makes a parking lot. This is our parking lot. Look at all the cars in the parking lot. People are like, ooh, yeah, we all drove to service today. Just going crazy, you know? Crazy for Jesus. That's faith, though. How nuts does God look calling a 99-year-old man a father? Well, he didn't care how nuts he looked. He knew it was truth. Amen. And that pastor, oh, look at our parking lot out there. It's full of cars. See, you might not be able to see it in the natural, but you better get rid of the natural eye of faith and start looking things with a spiritual eye of faith of what's to come. Look at all our parking lot. Ooh, I love my car. I drove it to service. And guess what? Every single one of the congregation members now have cars in that church. It all came to pass. It all came to pass. I remember, see, people don't see this part of my life. They see me driving a nice Ford F-150 and think, wow, I'm so privileged. No. You didn't see. This is true. You didn't see when Pastor Mike was driving the rust beaters around and going by the, and on purpose getting in my vehicle and going down to Schultz in Jamestown and getting out of my vehicle and walking around saying, I will have one of these brand new trucks someday. Amen. And I drive by on purpose. I don't need to go that way to church. I drive by on purpose and I'd say, because it would talk to me. They would talk to me, oh, the price tag. And I'd say, you're nothing but a bunch of metal sitting on rubber. That's all you are. God is bigger than that price tag. And they didn't see for 26 months. Pastor Mike and Court going around and looking at homes way out of our price range. And looking at it and say, yep, we want two fireplaces in our home. We want a garage. We don't have to park out in the snow. And we don't even want the garage to face the road. We want it to face sideways. We're getting detailed here. Why? My God's big enough. Amen. Somebody has such a small view of him, and that's all he has to work with. He's the God that's more than enough. Amen. And they didn't see for 26 months, pulling up and making appointments with realtors. Why? Getting myself around that. Enlarging. Had no way of paying for any of that or getting a new vehicle. But I'm not trying to make things on my own. I'm going by him. And then for 2 years, I'm enlarging my faith and believing God and going to houses and looking online. And those prices would talk to me and I'd talk right back to them. And then when God does lead us to a home, the home he leads us to is a home that we can't even get approved for. The amount of the home, when Court was working and I just started getting paid, we got an approval from a bank for a certain amount of money. So there's a certain amount of money that the bank will give us for money for the house. God leads us to look at a house that's well above the amount of money we're approved for. But not only are we not even approved for that amount of money, we're only approved for this amount of money with her salary. And God tells me to go look at a house after she quits her job. So now if we were to go back to the bank, what they would give us would be not here anymore. It'd be here and the house would be even farther away. And God leads me to that. But you know what? Didn't move me. For 2 years. 2 years and 2 months to be exact. I went around looking at homes. Made appointments for homes. Seen things online. Went to places and pulled out front and said, I'm going to have a house like that someday. Yeah, building my faith. Why? All God needs is my faith, and he's got the rest. Oh, you're really believing for a new home, are you? Are you going around and looking? Well, I just get so sad and depressed. So you just don't have big enough faith in God. Oh, you're believing for a new vehicle, are you? Have you test drove a brand new one yet? Well, I just wouldn't even think to dare to do that. Why not? You think a new vehicle trips God up? Well, I sure would love to go on that dream vacation, but do you look online at the pictures? I just can't do it. It gets me down, you know? Then you're not in faith. Yeah. My faith expects. You know when people are pregnant, they don't just sit around and say, let's just not talk about that. We just don't. No, they, how big is the baby this week? Can you hear it? Do you feel the baby yet? Can we hear the heart? Can we go buy clothes for the baby? Can we paint a nursery? Can we get stuff? Why? Because they actually believe it's coming. And if you're not willing to start making preparations in your expectation, you're not in faith. I knew someday I'm going to drive a new truck. I'm talking about one that no one else has ever gotten before. That's what I wanted. But I was driving my rust beaters on for years and looking at those things, and there was no way naturally, but my faith just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. What are you doing? Oh, you're believing for a spouse? You started looking at wedding dresses, ladies?
Yeah.
Well, I just can't. Why can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Believing for my kid. Are you starting to see it and picture things? Praise God.
Praise God.
Say, I'm not there, Pastor Mike. Then go back to Romans 10:17.
Yeah.
And get so stuffed full of faith that it's coming out your ears, your nose, your eyeball, everywhere. Just coming, faith just pouring out of you. You can get to that place. Pray, it's a fun place to be. It's a fun place to be. Praise God. It doesn't mean stopping to take your medication, but you know what? If you believe you're healed when you take that medication, how about every time you pop one of those pills, why not saying, well, I'm getting closer to the end of taking these things. Someday I'm never going to have to take them ever again. A healed person doesn't have to take him. God says you could be healed. Amen. Praise God. You were helped today. Let's just go ahead and close down right there. You got a lot to chew on. Praise God. We're different though, aren't we? Yeah, we're different. Praise God. Father, we love you so much. You're just so faithful. Father, you're just so faithful. Lord, our job's not to question why you do things. Our job is to cooperate with how you do things. It's not my job to wonder why it's so important for you to get in faith. It's not my job. It's not my job to wonder why confession and praise and all these things. It's just my job to cooperate with the Word, Father. So I pray that people here this morning would chew on these last two messages from Sunday to this Sunday. And they would get this stuff so big in their heart, and the things that they've been spinning their tires in for years, in their bodies, in their finances, with their kids, with their jobs, with whatever, they would actually start applying faith to those things, Bible faith. Not just a hope and a wish, but Bible faith. And Father, we know that your grace is enough. We know that your power is enough to turn and to change and deliver from any circumstance, in any situation. Father, I did my part here today. You've done your part, and I pray they do their part. Meditate on this. Get it big on the inside of them. Recognize the areas where they're not speaking it. They're not praising you about it. They're not in really an expectation about it. And Father, they would get the Word so big in them, these things just automatically flow out of them. Father, that's my prayer for every single person here. Now, Father, I know everybody in here is born again, accepted Jesus. I know that. But Father, if by chance there's somebody listening online, and if I'm wrong, Father, and there's somebody in here and they've not received Jesus, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. You all know how I do this. I don't need to go through the whole spiel of not embarrassing you. You know I won't embarrass you. But if you're here this morning, you could say, Pastor, you know, you were wrong. I have not accepted Jesus into my life. And you want to receive Jesus with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air? If you've never received Jesus and you want to receive him this morning, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. Is there anybody at all? Well, Father, if there is someone here that I was mistaken and they just didn't raise their hand, I pray they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus their Lord. And if you're listening online right now or in the future by the archive, I pray that you would not pass from this life till you've accepted Jesus. And what I mean by accepting him, it's so simple. You just ask him. Well, first you declare your belief in him. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. Now, you don't have to understand everything or make sense of it all in your head, but in your heart, you know Jesus is real. Just confess that. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're real. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll do that, he'll do his part. He'll save you. He'll become a father unto you. And then I encourage you, find a church that teaches the Bible. This is a good one, but there's others. Plant in that church. Hear the word. Do the word. Watch God change your life. And we just don't want anybody to go to hell. It's so unnecessary. It's such a free gift. Heaven is such a free gift. Father, we glorify you. Let's just praise him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Brothers, you can come forward. You guys can come forward. And this is a time of worship for communion. So be worshiping him and praise God. Go ahead and serve the people. Thank you very much. Thank you, Vinny. Is that song? Just put your focus on him and what he's done. Praise God. This is Jesus, something about that name. That's what this song is. I get emotional at times. I think about Jesus and what he did for me. So grateful. We don't take this time together for granted, Father. I know we do it once a month, Father, but it's not repetition. It's not just go through the motions. We're partaking in something that you yourself told us to do. Just love you, Jesus. I love you so much. Yeah, Lord, I'm glad all the stuff that comes with you. But I want you to know I love you. And if there was no healing, if there was no prosperity or favor or victory or the ability to move into nicer things, and if none of that existed, and it was just you and the cross, I would love you just as much, Jesus. I am thrilled with you. Grateful for your stuff, but thrilled with you. It's you I'm after. I'm not after the things, Lord. The things will come, but I'm after you, Jesus. I love you so much. I praise you. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. I could tell of your goodness until next week at this time. It would take that much time to go through my life, even pre-salvation, the things when people were praying for me, that you did for me. Becoming a child of God and the things you've done. I just praise you. Just praise your name. Bless your name, Jesus. Glorify your name. So good. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, 'Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's go ahead and break the bread, and let's eat it. Now, the Bible says that was representing his body. So let's thank him for what his body did for us, which was bring us healing. Your body was broken so that we could have a healed body. Lord, you suffered greatly for us, but thank you for doing it. Thank you so much. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Let's drink. Of course, the juice represents the blood that was shed for our sins, so let's thank him for it. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We praise you, Father, and bless you tonight. This morning, we're so grateful for you. Thank you for the blood that was spilled. We thank you now because of the blood, we've been made white as snow. Hallelujah. Now, what we're going to do here in a second before we leave, when we're done and dismissed, we ask you to pass the cups to the outward aisle. The ushers will get them. We're going to stand up and praise him. But afterwards, kids, don't forget, come on up. We have a prize for you. I want to thank all the kids. You were so quiet and listened so good today. That helps, Pastor Mike, when you do that. So thank you. We love you. But let's stand up and worship Jesus one more time. Lord, we love you so much. We're thrilled with you. We're in awe of you and what you're doing. Thank you for change today. We thank you for a different way from today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We'll see you on Sunday. Praise God.